Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, happy Labor Day. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Happy Labor Day. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And by the way, I learned something chatting with you off the air that I did not know. Tell the people your surprise occupation that was between college and being a restaurateur.
Yeah, I was on Drive Time Radio for almost half a year. The co-host of 92.5 had taken a promotion and a job, and the host of the show said, "Hey, why don't you come do radio with me in the mornings?" I'm thinking, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." So yeah, every morning for me was getting up at 5, and so we were on from 5 to 10 for back in 2005.
It was a blast. I didn't know that at all. That's great. I just, you know, I learn things about a congressman all the time. You've filed a couple of bills. One of them is you and I had talked about this before, but you've actually now filed the bill. It's HR, House Resolution 5029 about the Blue Angels. The primary purpose of this is to try to ensure that the Blue Angels stay always in Pensacola, right? The Blue Angels Act, it's called.
Correct. So what we had done last time, there was a vehicle, a bill that was moving. We slapped an amendment on it that did a lot of this. Now what we've done is we've put in actually a more robust freestanding bill. And I told the guy, I said, go look at everything that exists around the Blue Angels as they exist in Pensacola today. And I said, let's take that and put it as a bit of protection into statute. So this is exactly what we're doing, just to ensure that, you know, that Pensacola is always their home. And like I said, just go out of our way to, you know, when that's the thing happens, when they're in our home, we're creating some notoriety for it. But at the same time, also when I'm looking at making an investment, you know, those members of Congress, you know, it's just another way to educate them that the Blue Angels have been here. You got to remind these guys all the time.
You know, there was one line in this bill that caught my attention only because of like the practicality aspect. It's line 3 under section B. It says, or maybe it's just three. Three elements. Anyway, it says, the Secretary of the Navy may not reduce the number of aircraft or personnel assigned to the squadron specified in paragraph 1 below the number assigned to such squadron as of July 31st, 2025. And the only reason that caught my attention is I thought, well, you know, sometimes somebody leaves or somebody, you know, gets transferred out for whatever reason, they have to replace them. Would there ever, or an aircraft, it becomes unusable and it has to be transferred into, surplusage down to Arizona or something. Is there any concern that maybe that specific language, because I get what you're trying to do is preserve it, not let them sort of shrink it into obsolescence. But is there, you know, go to 4 instead of 6 pilots or whatever. But is there any concern that that might be too restrictive, that language, because they wouldn't be able to change personnel or delete aircraft that need to be?
This is the perfect example of why the process is what it is and why you should be a member of Congress. because you'll see there's things that bills get filed and they say, hey, you know, there's an unintended consequence in your language. But thank you for pointing that out. That's exactly, look the guys in the office are the ones who drafted the bill.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of times you have to get a second set of eyes to go review these things. They pop out. So that's actually a pretty great point you make. And, you know, we'll just go and revisit, make sure that we're not tying our hands in a way that's going to have an unintended consequence of not even being able to perform.
Man, I love that attitude. I really do. I love that attitude.
But I mean, no bill's perfect.
Right.
You know, look, humans are fallible. You know, I told my guys, I wanted this. And so they go and they work through the night and over a couple of days, and this is what they produce. And, you know, and I trust them. They're smart guys, you know, but there you go. Just a little smarter.
You have I just caught one thing. That's not the same thing, but the kind words. You have a couple of other bills, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk about all of them, because I definitely want to get to this, the shooting that took place in Minneapolis. But you've got a bill to facilitate veterans licensing. I love that. When, you know, whatever their duties were in the military, that when they get out, it'd be easy for them to, transition into a civilian license of some sort. You've got a bill dealing with the electric vehicle mandate in the military. Good Lord.
Yep.
And you've got another, it's an amendment to the NDAA that has to do with getting rid of woke AI. Take your pick. Is any one of these you want to focus on for a second?
Well, The EV mandate, that to me, that is just something that has no business being in a requirement of doing business on our installations. We saw a lot of challenges with EVs, and why should I be dumping a very expensive vehicle into our military use if it has not been fully battle tested? So I don't want our military to be the testing ground for a device that ultimately, when it comes under harm's way in a war, if it takes a bullet, it turns into a thermal runaway. Mm. So I mean, these are just some things I think kind of fall in the line of safety. But the Veteran Spouse Licensing Act, these guys, once they get done serving and they've got a skill set, they shouldn't have to be forced to go sit down through boards and training to go through certification if they've been serving our men and women all over the world doing that same job, whether you're a dentist or, you know, any of these other procedures or skills that they may have serving the military. They should be able to come and take root right here in Florida, I hope in Florida, and continue their practice. And then the woke AI, look, it's just doing exactly that. I remember I asked Meta to explain to me the big, beautiful bill, and Meta told me, it was an initiative by President Trump that put 1.4 million people off of Medicaid. It invested billions of dollars into border control, and it relocates the space shuttle. That's what it told me the bill did. So, I mean, this is a perfect example. I got the recording. I'll share it with you. But that's exactly what it told me the big, beautiful bill was. So, I mean, come on, guys. Meta, you can do better, sir.
So the key takeaways were border, Medicare, and removing the shuttle from Udvar-Hazy to Texas. Oh my God, that's just what a bizarre thing to. Go ahead.
I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you the audio file.
Okay, so that's great. Jimmy, we all saw this shooting in Minneapolis, and I don't know exactly what it is that makes one incident more or less sort of horrific and captivating to people, but obviously anything involving kids in a church, you know, this person maybe was transgender, you know, all of that stuff. But a lot of that sort of seems like, you know, his mom worked with all, a lot of that seems to me to be maybe not the real point, but I wanted to give you a chance to talk about, you know, what you're seeing and what your kind of thoughts are on this incident. Cause you and I talked a little bit about the air and you have some interesting things to say. Go ahead.
This is a big deal to me as I look at how social media and technology, they've just taken over our kids. I hope Cash Patel releases all of the apps and the data of what this kid was using to poison himself. Mm. You know, we don't have to, you know, some of us have seen the Terminator movie. You see how Skynet, you know, has, you know, become smart and it creates all these robots. Hell, we don't have to worry about the robots. I mean, social media and AI is programming our kids. So, I mean, where you're under the age of 18, these devices are just totally unrestricted. And we have got to have some support from the social media companies, from the device manufacturers. And if they don't, then we're going to have to bring out legislation, and that's not what we should do. I remember watching Instagram was running an ad a few months ago, and it says, tell Congress to support this XYZ Act that, you know, puts, you know, an age limit on Instagram. And I'm thinking, guys, why do you need Congress to do it? You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay? But this was an ad paid for. That's one of these feel-good, baloney-type posts that they made in order to look like they're trying to do their part. But it's horrible. I mean, I have to pry these things out of my kids' hands, you know? It's dangerous what they're doing and how they're influencing our kids. I mean, these things are they're digital fentanyl.
Yeah. You know, I talk with our law enforcement all the time, and we talk about how, you know, your kids should not have social media. And, you know, it's so dangerous. And, you know, that's one slice of it. It's the games, which, you know, we grew up on games. Okay, there's an element of what's new is going to always be scary to adults. I get that. It's the videos. It's the who's providing the information. There's all kinds of things. You know, we go through all this trouble of, you know, trying to provide kids good instructional material for their education and good parenting and good socialization and good experiences. And then we turn right around and anybody who can create an app or anybody who can post a video or make a picture on whether it's Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or some, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of other things out there, right? You're right. We turn over control of them. And it's not, what I always try to tell people is that, you know, the mistake everybody made about television was they thought that TV was all about what's on the TV. There are two parts to TV, what's on the TV and the TV. And the TV is sure. part of the concern. Mm-hmm. And here it's even worse because it's not just what's on the phone, because what's on the phone is horrible, but it's the phone itself. It is specifically gamed to addict your kids and profiteer off of them and colonize them like they're a continent or something. And I couldn't agree with you more. And so looking at what radicalized or what allowed this person to become radicalized, whether it's the algorithms that kept feeding him the same disgusting information in a higher and higher dosage all the time, isolating himself with other like-minded crazy people online, which we know yep. happened. I mean, just all of that. I agree with you. So is it, do you think there's is there any hope that the drug dealers are going to stop dealing the drugs?
Yeah, look, I mean, unfortunately, you may have to step in with legislation. And look, when they're an adult, they're an adult. I mean, you know, good luck with that going forward. But you know, I remember when I took my kid to go see the Lone Ranger movie, the one that came out a few years ago. And he was six when he took it. I thought, that's PG-13, big deal. And I tell you, I remember the shoot-em-up scenes that took place and just seeing his body flinch. And this was not natural for a child of that age to see. They're not able to process this stuff. And now you're giving them advice with unfettered access to any of this garbage. You know, so, and I mean, it takes the kids away from family and it takes them away from church. And now these things become their new study guide. So, I mean, yeah, I remember when Dad used to turn off the TV in my room when I went to bed at night. You know, this is far worse than any TV.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when you talk about taking them away from friends and family and church and, you know, real life activities, and, you know, one of the things I think is, like, if you have a variety of sources of meaning in your life, a variety of sources of connection and stability in your life, if one of them goes sour, you've got the others to draw on. But by sort of isolating kids into this digital reality and getting them, as you say, away from a lot of the real life stuff, then all of a sudden, if things go wrong online, like they get bullied or they, you know, people are mean to them or they feel like they're getting attacked or whatever, it's a kind of idolatry. It's like everything is wrapped up in their identity online, and then there's nothing else to balance it if that goes sour. We cannot allow this to keep happening. I was reading a very interesting couple of articles about the Minneapolis murderer that talked about nihilism. You know, the belief that nothing matters, that there's no truth in the world, and that, you know, there's some really horrific connections with some online communities that he apparently was involved in. But kids need meaning. Adults need meaning. And if they don't have meaning, then they will, I mean, anything goes, right? They need to be given values, right?
100%. I mean, these devices are becoming their friends.
Yeah.
It's becoming their influence. It's becoming their counselors. And this is why, you know, over the age 18, you know, like I said, you're an adult, but below is where they're getting indoctrinated because they're so influential, they're insecure, and they're still trying to find their way. And you know, it takes parental involvement, but you know, it's hard. I mean, raising a family is a big responsibility. Mm-hmm. But you know, these devices out here are definitely as much as, man, you know, just watch your device and, you know, I'm going to, you know, continue to work. Unfortunately, leads to some bad outcomes. I mean, we've got to have some cooperation from big tech, and we've got to quit trying to monetize our kids.
So I'm gonna disagree with you, but I'm gonna disagree with you in the direction you want to go. You ready?
Yeah, you're good at this.
Well, no, because you made me think about something. Is, look, we don't allow kids to smoke. You know, to use nicotine products. We don't allow kids to use alcohol. We don't allow kids, you know, to use, even where it's legal, marijuana products, right? But some things, when they're an adult, we let them drink, okay? In some places, you let them smoke, and, you know, smoke, but in some places, you let them, you know, get high. But even when they're adults, you do not let them, you know, buy cocaine, buy heroin. You don't let them use fentanyl. There's lots of methamphetamines. And so I think it's a fair question to ask. Is the phone, is social media, and especially in its current and even, God, I terrifying future configuration. Is it more like alcohol that just needs to, you need to wait till you're 21, or is it more like fentanyl and meth and we need to just not have it? And I think that's a fair question to ask about these things.
I'm more of the feeling of the latter. I'd rather not even have it. But, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think you're going to get the genie out of the bottle. I don't think you're going to get rid of it. But I know this. I know those devices, and I know social media, you know, it's made by humans. And humans have the ability to put filtration, guardrails, all that in place. But I put too many guardrails, and it's not as sticky. It's not as sensational. It's not as impactful. It's not, you know, so, I mean, you know, this delicate balance. You know, after the shooting took place, and it was interesting, after the shooting took place in Minneapolis, you know, I went to go Google it about the characteristics of the shooter. And Google, this is the first time I've ever seen this, but it's the first time I ever searched it either, because I actually had the word suicide in the search box.
Yeah.
And Google came with a whole bunch of alerts, which, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, but it still allowed me to go find what I was looking for regarding this Minneapolis shooter. You know, I mean, it's troubling. And these guys, I'm sorry, they're responsible. And so, yeah, look, if it takes a member of Congress filing legislation to get your attention, sometimes that's exactly what we have to do.
And I love your adjective used there. They're sticky. They are super, super sticky, these things. Jimmy Petronis is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, thanks for the time on Labor Day. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week. Very interesting stuff. I really, really appreciate the time.
All right. Take care.